Good afternoon, this is Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Windwalkers is a therapeutic riding and learning center in Carbondale. The organization offers physical therapy, counseling services, and workshops for veterans, kids, and older adults, all centered around the healing power of horses. My guests today are Gabrielle Greaves, Executive Director of Windwalkers, and Sherry Gaynor, licensed clinical social worker and registered expressive arts therapist who is a counselor there. Jess Ewart, Executive Director of Aspen City of Wellbeing, a community partner with Windwalkers, also joined us in the studio. On September 23rd and 24th, the organization will host Out of the Saddle and Onto the Mat with Dan Nevins, an Iraq War veteran and yoga teacher who will speak about how horses and yoga can be used in working with injury and trauma. Gabrielle, can you talk about Windwalkers and the mission there?
So we are an equine-assisted learning and therapy center. We've been available to all populations that are looking to really grow and thrive through an equine-assisted approach. It's an alternative to trauma. It's an alternative to physical therapy in an office because we use the horse as a modality. And really in the mental health, it's a healer. And so it's from anything from the spina bifida cases to the cerebral palsy to trauma in the brain to, you know, working with those that are even older with dementia and Parkinson's. We've worked with even the area of grief and loss. So, you know, there's so many things that we can take our horses into, or I should say they take us into.
Sherry, can you talk about your role at Windwalkers?
Yes, I'm real excited to be able to collaborate my company, Creative Awakenings, with Windwalkers and Gabrielle. And I bring the psychotherapy aspect to Windwalkers. I work with all sorts of issues with people. Addiction is one of my areas, trauma, many different aspects of healing, actually, basically with the horses. And what's amazing about doing psychotherapy with horses is basically that you're really moving a person from their left brain knowing into a more creative right brain way of knowing. And honestly, the work happens a lot faster and a lot deeper, and it's very profound. The horses are incredible mirrors for who we are and the things that we really need to work on inside. Mm-hmm.
And Jess, talk about what it's like to be a community partner, what your organization does with Windwalkers.
Okay. My name is Jess Ewart. I'm the exec director of Aspen City of Wellbeing. Our mission is to shift culture towards an optimal state of well-being for all. And we do that ourselves through our own programs. But these community partnerships and collaborations are really important to us because people like Gabrielle and Sherry and the work that they're doing at Windwalkers is so specific. The tools that they're sharing, the clinical knowledge that they have, the horses, just the work that they're doing is incredible. It's certainly not something that we have the capacity to replicate or even the desire to do that because they're doing such great work. So we like to shine a light on that to help get the word out, to support them through sponsorship, through our marketing channels. Also energetically, I plan to attend the events myself and participate. I'm a yogi too, so I'm very excited to meet Dan. And they're just great people to work with.
Let's talk about what happens at Windwalkers. What can happen with a horse that can't happen in a counselor's office, in a physical therapy office?
Well, you know, I'm gonna let Sherry first talk a little bit about that. And then I'm going to tell you maybe about one or two specific cases that I can speak about.
Okay. Sherry?
I can give you a little example. I mean, I think that the experiential aspect of this work is really where the power lies. And especially I work with Jaywalker. I collaborate with them. And I'm actually 26 years recovery myself, long-term recovery.
And is Jaywalkers, can we talk about that program?
I work with Jaywalker as a collaboration. And I bring the men up to Windwalkers and use a program that I designed for Jaywalkers. It's a recovery and treatment center in Carbondale. And so being able to partner with a horse allows these men a way to create relationship, to understand themselves in the way that they communicate. They learn boundaries. One of my favorite horses at Windwalkers, his name is Blanket, and he is a master teacher. He is a boundary pusher. So when I work with, you know, these strong-willed young men, he's one of my favorite horses to teach. We do an activity where we actually do learn, you know, where do I end and where do you begin? And this horse is my partner in that. And it's, you can't script what happens. It's actually amazing. And so they learn spatial relationship and how that applies to their addiction, themselves, and how it then can be brought out into their world and further their relationships. That's one example.
Mm-hmm. You can't find anything in this world that's an animal-assisted approach where you can really get on the back of and be carried into the world. So, for instance, when somebody has spina bifida, or if they have cerebral palsy, or if they have an affliction that was from birth in their diagnosis, and they're trying to strengthen their core or lengthen their muscles, you know, and, you know, tone those muscles, and they don't have their availability to their own legs, this is the treatment through an animal-assisted approach, in particular our horses, that carry these individuals forward. And the natural movement is the gait of the horse, which is the same as our gait in walking. So they're allowing them to walk with their legs. So they give them legs. They allow that availability to also then be explorers and carry them much further than they can offer themselves, right? So there's so many beautiful things that happen in this relationship between human and horse. And now as we've expanded our programming, we have so many more adults with us that are doing different things. You know, even a Parkinson's patient where he had horses young in his life and up until the point of his diagnosis, and then for some time he was unable to actually ride. And now as his disease has progressed, his wife came to me and said, "My husband is missing out on the one thing he loves. What can we do?" And because we are schooled and experienced, even well-educated in taking on these kind of different populations, we have taken on this case, and this man now sits tall in the saddle. He is more upright in his position. Basically, this is the one thing he's looking forward to. And that statement of looking forward to something often finds itself in pretty much every client that we touch. I mean, I hear this is a magical place and I can't find it anywhere else. My children look forward to this. And it's not just about who we are as instructors and what we bring to the table, but their relationship with the horse.
Gabrielle, you talked a little bit about the physical benefits, and working with horses is physical and riding horses is physical. Why is it important, or what's the impact of that kind of embodiment in a way that's different than working with other therapy animals?
So bringing it back to the idea of we're sitting on top of these animals and they are giving us the availability to the sensation of their gait, and which is also that oxytocin effect in the brain, right? But there's also for the body is that core structure of muscle tonalities throughout all of the muscle structures, the legs, right and left reins, right and left brain. You're working with fine and gross motor skills that often you don't get from a seated position elsewhere. And if you're touching an animal, and I am saying animal-assisted approaches are beautiful because I also have the availability of working with dogs because we have service dogs that come up as well. But there's something different. You can't ride your service dog. Right? You can touch, and you're getting that effect with animal-assisted approaches in other ways. And I call them happiness drugs without ingestion, right? But the horse is this one particular modality and treatment where you really are both on the ground with them in groundwork and forming a bond and relationship to also then getting into the saddle. And you're sitting on their spine and you're sitting right into their heart line. So there's so much that goes on in a mindfulness approach The focus is so crystal clear. So because you can't be anywhere else when you're on an 1,100 or 1,300 pound animal, you really have to remind yourself of the focus. And that's in particular where a lot of these children that are with trauma to the brain or autistic children, so you have that developmental or intellectual challenges that we're also working with, that really bring them into a center line and focus. The mind is now being affected so differently, and you are triggering that right and left brain imaging. So it's just an incredibly beautiful force of nature, and I think we all feel it. Even if you see a horse in a field, doesn't it do something for you? Mm. Don't you get drawn?
You're listening to Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay. My guests today are Gabrielle Greaves, Executive Director of Windwalkers, a therapeutic riding center in Carbondale, and Sherry Gaynor, licensed clinical social worker who is a counselor there. Jess Ewart, Executive Director of Aspen City of Wellbeing, a community partner with Windwalkers, also joined us in the studio. I want to hear from you, Sherry, because you work with people just on the ground with horses.
Yes.
What's that like?
I have several certifications in equine-assisted psychotherapy and learning, and one of them is through EponaQuest and my mentor, Linda Kohanev. And basically, my clients learn emotional agility, and it's a four-part process, and they also get an emotional message chart. So we look at the horses as partners because they are prey animals. And so as prey animals, they're highly sensitive, and it's a survival skill. So they are able to read their field and also support us in that. One of the things, I just started working with a young boy who was recently diagnosed as ADHD, and they're also was able to show him some video of wild herds and have him identify through this video aspects of the roles in his family and how that actually mirrored some of what was going on for him and what role he was being able to play. And then we went out and did some work in the field with the Windwalkers herd, where he was able to choose a horse that actually worked for him and that he wanted to begin his journey of working with. And what's really profound about that in terms of getting a diagnosis or a label of ADHD is when I worked with him for the 60-minute session, his response to me was, "Oh, it's already an hour?" Mm-hmm. And to see this young boy, be calm and grounded and centered for that entire hour allows him to then know that there are places, whether he has this diagnosis or not, that he is able to maintain a focus, to connect, to have relationship. And how do I then bring this into my school, into my life with my family?
Gabrielle, you were talking about, you see a horse in the field and it moves so many people. We want to slow down our cars. We want to watch. But a lot of people are also afraid of horses. They're big animals. Mm-hmm. They can seem unpredictable if you don't know that much about them. So I imagine that you've had clients come to you who feel that fear a little bit. How does that play into your work?
There is fear. And we see it in our men that come up from day walkers. We see it in some of even our younger clients who say, "I'd love to touch," and they're kind of wanting to go close, but they're also apprehensive, right? And for us, that's all okay, right? Because that's who we are, and that's authentic. And so it's congruency. They are allowing themselves to say, this is how I'm feeling inside, and this is what I'm able to speak and be conscious of. And that's what we want at the end of the day. We want the vocalizations, the truisms that are there for individuals. It's okay to be fearful, right? And that's what we say to everyone. It's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be working through in an emotional sense that there's a, you know, there's a strong just being yourself.
Do you have a specific story to share that illustrates that, kind of the embracing of fear and then the overcoming as well?
Oh, Sherry's good at her. Yeah, Sherry's good at stories too.
It's amazing because when I talk about it, we talk about that actually it's healthy for them to feel fear. I change the language to vulnerability. So there's a healthy state of vulnerability. You're dealing with an animal that probably starts at 1,000 pounds. And for most people, they've either had a bad experience, which is really what we find because most people are just thrown on a horse without any education.
Right. I was little.
Yep,
I got bucked
exactly.
off.
Exactly. And so, like, you know, we immediately ask, has there been that for you? We worked with Youth Recovery last week.
Yes, and, which is another partner.
Yeah, which is another partner. And there was a young man. I'm very intuitive, and I kind of just hold the field and watch what's happening in terms of who's doing what. And there was a young man, and I just noticed him just sort of off to the side and was not in any way engaging. And I finally just walked over and said, how you doing? And he just kind of looked at me, head down, you know. And I said, have you been with horses before? And he said, no. And I said, well, would you like to come over and walk? And he was able, under his breath, to say, I'm afraid. And I said, okay, you want to do this together. That's what we do here. And so we walked over, and, you know, the rest of the clients were grooming and doing things very comfortable. And so I handed him a brush and I showed him what we were going to do. And he was still, you know, he was leaning like 10 feet in with his feet like 10 feet behind him. And I said, okay, I want you to just take a really deep breath. And he's like, oh. And I was like, I want the horse to be able to hear that exhale. And it did. And then I said, so let's take two steps closer because you're going to find as you start to relax into this, it's going to make you feel different. And by the end of it, at the end of our session, this young man was looking up, looking in the eyes of everyone. He volunteered to help us start to clean up the arena. And I said, so what do you think? You're going to come back? And he said, absolutely.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay. My guests today are Gabrielle Greaves, Executive Director of Windwalkers, and Sherry Gaynor, who is a counselor there. Jess Ewart, Executive Director of Aspen City of Wellbeing, a community partner with Windwalkers, also joined us in the studio. The organization will host Out of the Saddle and Onto the Mat with Dan Nevins, an Iraq War veteran and yoga teacher, September 24th through 25th. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. We've talked a little bit about the physical therapy side, about the psychotherapy side. One thing that's going to bring body and mind together is this event that you have with Dan Nevins.
So Dan is a very special individual for me. I have known about Dan since the time he lost his legs in Iraq in 2004. I happened to be involved with another program where we were at Walter Reed. And that's how he became kind of a cyclist and other things. And that's another lifetime ago for me. But Dan now is one of the sought after inspirational speakers. He's just returned from China, literally working with individuals there. And it's not just with the population of veterans, but really this talks to what Jess and her team is doing on this mindfulness approach and well-being. He has come to so believe in meditation and yoga. And even though he is a horse person, and why I've chosen him in the first place, because he so ties together the notion of alternative trauma treatment and recreational activity that can help all individuals, whether you're a veteran or a senior, or he's inviting everybody into the conversation. And he's saying trauma sits very deeply with inside of you. And what you need to recognize is it's there. It does not go away. But it certainly can be vocalized. It can be, you know, put into a place that feels much better for you when you're in yoga, when you're on the top of a horse. He goes back to that sense of focus, that oneness, that availability of being very present, both in your body and in your mind. You know, and Dan is that person for me. He is obviously retired. He's a U.S. Army staff sergeant. He has a double amputation. He's very competitive, but he has gone on to say, between horses and yoga, you know, out of the saddle and onto the mat, Gabrielle, is how we came up with these concepts. And he's going to speak to that. And I think it's so profound. So Saturday, the barbecue, and then Sunday, a meditation in our field at 11 o'clock in the morning. You will be surrounded by horses. We will see how the horses do with inside literally being untethered in our pasture. Because again, if people have fears, I am happy to just keep them surrounded just in our dry lots and paddocks. And so you can still touch them over a fence line and still be with them and still interact with them, and then open your heart. And we sit right underneath Mount Sopris. And I say she is such a beautiful force in her own nature.
Mm-hmm. And Jess, when you hear about this event and you think about your organization, what kind of crossover do you hear or do you expect?
There's so much crossover. There's so much synergy between what we are trying to do and what Gabrielle is doing and has been doing for many years. Especially when I heard Sherry talking about a child with ADHD having access to these therapy tools. So a big part of what our organization does is we try to give people tools to access their highest human potential. Anyone given the proper support is going to be able to access that part of themselves. And what you see in this valley, a lot of the symptomology that we saw that kind of called us to form our organization were just symptoms like this higher suicide rate, addiction, dependency, depression, anxiety, stress. There's a lot of stress factors for people that live and work here.
And also kind of the pressure of appearance.
Of, sure.
You know, keeping up appearances and acting like things are okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I mean, having a nice smile on your face when someone asks you how you're doing and saying, great, even though that might not be the truth. And so when we talk about making a culture shift, that's the culture that we want to shift. We want to be able to have open conversations, but to investigate and highlight these alternative, they're called alternative, they shouldn't be, yeah. They should be mainstream, but they're classified as alternative, holistic, integrative modalities that actually work. So we come from this very Western mindset of approaching symptoms and approaching illness, and the truth is, if you look at the last 100 years of this approach and what it's done in our country, since that's where we live and what we're familiar with, it clearly is not the most efficient or the most effective, which is not to say that those medicines and those treatments are not very helpful and very useful in an acute situation. But when it comes to long-term healing and really reaching deep to that trauma that Gabrielle was speaking about that's seated in someone's mind, body, and spirit, we need these other approaches, and we really need to highlight them. We need to integrate them. We need to make it a part of a regular treatment. It should be available to everyone. And so we go into the worksite through my organization. We teach meditation. We practice movement that's based on yoga. We sit together in mindfulness. We eat healthy foods. We even have massage therapists, local workers that go into the worksite and do body work on the essential service workers that make this valley operate and function. And if I had the ability to send horses into the workplace, I would totally do that. But obviously, they need to be up at the ranch and on that property. And so we'd love to highlight it and tell people about it and get people going up there because it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's a population, really for all three of you, that you feel like you aren't reaching right now that you know could benefit from the work that you do? And do you have plans to try and reach them?
If I may, I'm just going to take that question first, and then I'll give it to my colleagues and friends here, because we are talking about that, which is our first responders. So for me, after I have seen what has been our pick and alerts day after day about bringing, unfortunately, even fatalities off of Capitol Peak and other things, I think often about where our first responders are and what we need to do to reach them. And I have now collaborated with a woman who was an international dressage champion, and she is also a master's in psychotherapy and psychology. And she's a beautiful woman, and she's going to come up and collaborate on these efforts to reach the first responders, our emergency medical teams. And that's really important to me. And that means even our police departments.
We are actually starting to implement some bilingual programs to try to access the Hispanic population in this valley. And I would say that particularly now, just in the political climate that we're living, that has become a segment of the population that was already quite stressed. And I can't even imagine the level of stress that those families must be feeling. And there are some wonderful organizations already doing work out there. We're collaborating with some of them and just some local employers to try to really reach out to that population across this kind of cultural and language divides by bringing in facilitators that can speak to them on a level that they really can feel and receive.
And Sherry?
I would agree with both my colleagues. I also really am an advocate for youth. I think our youth in this valley are really seeking different and creative experiential ways that they can not just avoid addiction, but if they've already found themselves in trouble, self-esteem issues, the social media, there is so much that the horses and art can offer our youth in terms of learning self-esteem, how to navigate different, and basically learning leadership. I mean, this is our future. These youth are our leaders. So that's something that I'm really hoping to develop in my own practice and my work.
Sherry, Jess, Gabrielle, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cross Currents. I'm Kristen Kay. Windwalkers is a therapeutic riding and learning center in Carbondale. The organization offers equine-assisted physical therapy, counseling services, and workshops. My guests today were Gabrielle Greaves, Executive Director of Windwalkers, Sherry Gaynor, Licensed Clinical Social Worker and Registered Expressive Arts Therapist, and Jess Ewart, Executive Director of Aspen City of Wellbeing, a community partner with Windwalkers. On September 23rd and 24th, the organization will host Out of the Saddle and Onto the Mat with Dan Nevins, an Iraq War veteran and yoga teacher who will speak about using horses and yoga to prevail over injury and trauma. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay. If you missed today's show, you can go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Up next at 4 o'clock is All Things Considered. Cross Currents is a production of Aspen Public Radio.